Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We talk about deportations, we have to stop the bleeding. We have a historic immigration crisis because Kamala Harris started and said that she wanted to undo all of Donald Trump's border policies. 94 executive orders suspending deportations, decriminalizing illegal aliens, massively increasing the asylum fraud that exists in our system. That has opened the floodgates. And what it's meant is that a lot of fentanyl is coming into our country.
A lot of interesting discussion about immigration, of course, a major issue, perhaps, one of those really key issues that if Team Trump and Vance want to focus on something where the weakness of the opponent is clear, you know, that would be the one. Now, on the other side, you know, you got Tim Walz making the claim, which Kamala Harris made, which they suddenly, right before an election, they came up with this brilliant plan to solve the border crisis. And, you know, why didn't we put that in place? Well, because maybe you should have done something earlier, and maybe it wasn't that great of a plan, but you realize you were that far behind in the polls on this issue, and you've never fixed it before. But anyway, J.D. Vance talking about the record of Kamala Harris on this, which, you know, it's a little hard to argue with.
A mother who struggled with opioid addiction and has gotten clean. I don't want people who are struggling with addiction to be deprived of their second chance because Kamala Harris let in fentanyl into our communities at record levels. So you've got to stop the bleeding. You've got to re-implement Donald Trump's border policies, build the wall, re-implement deportations.
And by the way, the focus, you know, he was asked, you know, how are you going to deport 25 million illegal or 20 million or 15 or whatever your number is, because nobody really knows. We have all these wild guesses. And rightly so, he said, well, the focus has to be first on, you know, turn off the faucet before you fix the leak, right? Don't keep pouring water into the basement. That's one of the issues. Stop the bleeding before you, he's right. But then even so, there's no practical way to deport 20 million people. I mean, there isn't. Not in any reasonable time frame. So you got to talk about prioritization.
That gets me to your point, Margaret, about what do we actually do? So we've got 20, 25 million illegal aliens who are here in the country. What do we do with them? I think the first thing that we do is we start with the criminal migrants. About a million of those people have committed some form of crime in addition to crossing the border illegally. I think you start with deportations on those folks.
Right. Absolutely. That's a 1 in 25. That's 4% of the problem. Yeah, you could do that. I mean, that's where you could really focus, right?
For 3 years, Kamala Harris went out bragging that she was going to undo Donald Trump's border policy. She did exactly that. We had a record number of illegal crossings. We had a record number of fentanyl coming into our country. And now that she's running for president, or a few months before, she says that somehow she got religion and cared a lot about a piece of legislation. The only thing that she did when she became the vice president, when she became the appointed border czar, was to undo 94 Donald Trump executive actions that opened the border.
Yeah, either nothing, going now to what, her second visit to the border in 4 years, which is amazing. But, you know, we continue talking about the problems seeing in, you know, several areas, including, and this became a running theme, the question of the impact of illegal immigration on housing.
Springfield, Ohio, and in communities all across this country, you've got schools that are overwhelmed. You've got hospitals that are overwhelmed. You've got housing that is totally unaffordable because we brought in millions of illegal immigrants to compete with Americans for scarce homes. The people that I'm most worried about in Springfield, Ohio, are the American citizens who have had their lives destroyed by Kamala Harris's open border. It is a disgrace, Tim. And I actually think, I agree with you. I think you want to solve this problem, but I don't think that Kamala Harris does.
One of those interesting moments where he gave credit to, not only to his opponent, Tim Walz, but he was actually giving credit to some of the ideas that Kamala Harris was proposing. Of course, he's saying, but why hasn't she done them so far? Why hasn't she put them into place? And why wait until November? Why not actually implement them now? If they're good policies, they're good policies. Tim Walz, of course, had raised the issue of why did Donald Trump decide to kill the immigration bill that they had hammered out during the summer. I also agreed that that was a bad choice, and certainly it was done for political reasons, but why was the bill even offered at that point? in this problem. Well, for political reasons, in, with the election impending, so that you can try to claim a victory on, you know, barely solving something that you should have been solving for the entire time. Then you had this kind of odd moment where Tim Walz, I mean, I don't doubt his faith, but it rang wrong to me.
I don't talk about my faith a lot, but Matthew 25:40 talks about, to the least amongst us you do unto me. I think that's true of most Americans. They simply want order to it.
And okay, but it kind of came out of nowhere for me. And then you had the infamous moment. Now, this was a really good debate. It would have been better if Margaret Brennan hadn't been there. But there was an infamous moment fairly early on that just when you thought CBS was going to learn from the pitfalls of ABC, and they really didn't. I'll give you that in a second. John's got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but we are seeing some minor delays if you're headed Highway 29 southbound to New Nine Mile Road. Going to see a minor delay there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So, yeah, after talking about Springfield and talking about the impact of the Haitian immigrants there, of course, that was made infamous with the comments about the cats and the dogs and the ducks and all this stuff, which didn't actually come up last night except sort of incidentally a little bit. But talking about that particular case as an example of the impact of illegal immigration, and Margaret Brennan jumps in with the fact check, right, after all of this.
Thank you, Governor. And just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status, temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important
because we're going to turn out of the economy. Thank you,
Margaret. The rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check, and since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on.
By the way, that was interesting. You know that they had promised not to fact check. And then did so, and poorly.
There's an application called the CBP One app, where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum or apply for parole, and be granted legal status at the wave of a Kamala Harris open border wand. That is not a person coming in, applying for a green card, and waiting for 10 years.
Thank you, Senator.
Facilitation of illegal immigration, Margaret, by
Thank
our
you,
own
Senator,
leadership.
Thank you, Senator, for describing the legal process.
Kamala,
we have
Kamala
so much
Harris
to get to,
that
Senator.
Pathway.
Those
we
laws have
so
been
much
on the books since 1990.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP One app has not been on the books
since 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris created, Margaret.
Gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut. We have so much we want to get to. Thank you for explaining the legal process.
Be careful, dear. Your contempt is showing. Wow. You know, it would have been fine of a sort if Margaret Brennan had just been her normal, barely competent self. And by barely, I mean often not. But that moment was so bad. It was so ugly. It was so, you know, we have the power to turn the mics off, dear. So why don't you stop with your, you know, silly explanations, fact-checking my fact-checking. I'm in charge. We're not, you know, you're not in control here. We're in control here. So I just want to remind you who's boss. The cringiest moment came from Margaret Brennan. It didn't come from either Tim Walz or J.D. Vance, both of whom did quite a good job. Now, this issue of immigration, they came back to it. It's kind of interesting. They had the questions there in the beginning, but they came back to it because J.D. Vance was making a point that I don't think I had made on the air. Maybe I did. I don't remember. But I have been thinking about this a lot lately, and I had been thinking about how I haven't really heard people make this argument when it comes to the high cost of housing, that basically there's got to be supply and demand issues, right? I mean, if we're short 4 million houses is the estimate, I guess. We're 4 million houses short. Why is that? Well, it means we have, you know, 250, I'm trying to, you know, we have 250 million house demands out there, and we have 246 million houses, and so we're short. And so that's why you have had in the past, anyway, more demand, and therefore you drive up prices unreasonably. Okay, well, 4 million is a relatively concrete number. How could we have that much surplus demand for a product and inadequate supply? Well, there's a lot of reasons. You could either add to demand, for example, through illegal immigration, or you could withdraw from supply, for example, short-term rentals, Airbnbs. Okay. There's a lot of other things you can talk about when it comes to the high cost of housing, but those are some of the sort of easier things that you can look at. And so he kind of came back to this topic, and I thought it was very interesting that they kept talking about this particularly, because the issue of the impact of illegal immigration on housing was a fascinating discussion.
Can't blame immigrants for the only reason. That's not the case that's happening in many cities. The fact of the matter is that we don't have enough naturally affordable housing, but we can make sure that the government's there to help kickstart it, create that base.
Okay, but if you don't have enough housing and then you add demand, or why do you not have enough housing if there's 10 or 15, let's say there's 4 million short, right? We certainly have more than a demand for 4 million homes from illegal immigrants, right? So that's at least part of the problem. And it might not be a problem in this city or that city, but it is a problem in the overall. And of course, people are pushed from one place to the other because of high cost, because certainly this is a part of it, right? And then J.D. Vance, saying, look, I don't want to blame them entirely, but you got to blame who's responsible for making this possible.
Tim just said something that I agree with. We don't want to blame immigrants for higher housing prices, but we do want to blame Kamala Harris for letting in millions of illegal aliens into this country, which does drive up costs, Tim. 25 million illegal aliens competing with Americans for scarce homes is one of the most significant drivers of home prices in the country. It's why we have massive increases in home prices that have happened right alongside massive increases in illegal alien populations under Kamala Harris's leadership.
Yeah, look, if we had massive influx of people into Florida driving up our housing market, which we all know is true, now, we're not going to stop Americans from moving across state lines, but that same problem across the whole U.S., if you have 10, 15, 20, 25 million people crossing into the United States from another country, it's a supply and demand issue. And so to, make that a point, I thought was fascinating. And also, if Kamala Harris has solutions to this problem, why is she waiting until after she's in office?
Tim just mentioned a bunch of ideas. Now, some of those ideas I actually think are halfway decent, and some of them I disagree with. But the most important thing here is Kamala Harris is not running as a newcomer to politics. She is the sitting vice president. If she wants to enact all of these policies to make housing more affordable, I invite her to use the office that the American people already gave her, not sit around and campaign and do nothing while Americans find the American dream of homeownership completely unaffordable.
By the way, in past passing in the middle of that comment where he said a lot of her policies sound good, but why hasn't she done them and why won't she do them now, which is a fair critique. I love the acknowledgement that some of her policies do sound good. That's, again, basic debate strategy. Grant your opponent where they're strong, grant them their strength. Concede points. It makes you look reasonable. Explain why they're wrong even though you first explain why they're right or why somebody might think that they're right. That's really good stuff. And also talking about the other issues besides immigration.
One of the biggest drivers of housing costs aside from illegal immigration is, think about it. If a truck driver is paying 40% more for diesel, then the lumber he's delivering to the job site to build the house is also going to become a lot more expensive. If we open up American energy, you will get immediate pricing relief for American citizens, not, by the way, just in housing, but in a whole host of other economic goods, too.
That's right. That's why expanding, the use of American energy will help a lot of things. Why haven't the high prices achieved during the high inflation, which now we're at tame inflation, but the prices are still high because of prior inflation, right? Why haven't those prices come down? Because energy prices have not come down. But if you can get energy prices down, you can actually get a negative, a deflation of the prices, which is what we're trying to accomplish. And then again, you had Margaret Brennan, who wasn't supposed to fact checks, and really badly at this point, because here's what she asks.
Senator, on that point, I'd like for you to clarify, there are many contributing factors to high housing costs. What evidence do you have that migrants are part of this problem?
Well, there's a Federal Reserve study that we're happy to share after the debate. We'll put it up on social media, actually, that really drills down on the connection between increased levels of migration, especially illegal immigration, and higher housing prices. Now, of course, Margaret, that's not the entire driver of higher housing prices.
You know what I would have liked him to say? Well, Margaret, it seems to me that you're asking me whether I believe in basic economics or not. You increase the population of the country by 8%, that is going to have a significant aggregate effect on the price of anything that those people are now competing against the indigenous population for. Are you challenging me to a demonstration that economics is right? Like, I, you know, and but to his credit, he didn't engage in too much snarkiness, but that would have been kind of an interesting response. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report right now. I-10 and I-110 are looking good. If you're on Highway 90 in downtown Milton trying to get to East Milton, you're going to see a small delay there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
At the height of hurricane season, are you sure your data is backed up? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Hurricanes can cause severe damage to buildings and IT infrastructure. Test your backups now to ensure your access in an emergency. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Me.
99 red balloons go by.
Good morning, 628 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This weird, menacing, whatever it is, out in the Gulf. Are we supposed to just live like this through December, the end of hurricane season? I mean, I don't want it to form, but I would kind of like it to fish or cut bait, you know? Like, either form or go away instead of just sitting there uglying up my picture of the Gulf with your orange 40%-ness, and it's not making me happy in any way. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, SpaceX founder Elon Musk says he's now agreed to use dozens of Starlink receivers and terminals to help residents in North Carolina regain access to the internet. Of course, many people in western North Carolina still without internet access and cell phones, even due to the destruction caused by Hurricane Helene. The Biden administration says they are supporting U.S. dock workers on day two of the big union dock workers strike by the International Longshoremen's Association. That strike now entering day two. It's blocking everything from food to vehicle shipments at ports all the way from Maine to Texas.
And did you know, first of all, it doesn't affect us here because we're not a union port. Okay. And we don't really do container ships either, so it's kind of a double, doesn't affect us really. At least I don't think we do container ships, not normally. But did you see what they're actually wanting?
70%, I believe, was the raise
they
were looking for.
Their top wage is $39 an hour right now, so 78 grand a year at a 2,000. That's not counting any overtime, right? Okay, so straight 2,000 hours a year, they're making 78 grand. They want it to go up $5 an hour per year for 6 years to 69 grand, to $69 an hour, 100 and what is that, 38 grand a year? That's their ask. That's what they're striking over, is a 70% increase in wages over the next 5 years. Wow.
You got to have goals.
I guess. Man. Well, what did we always say? We always said that the reason unions are supportive of minimum wage increases is because they know then that will justify them asking for even more increases in their contracts, right?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The vice presidential candidates mostly attacked the top of the ticket, not each other, during their debate last night hosted by CBS News. Vice President Harris's running mate, Governor Tim Walz, had a point-blank question for former President Trump's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, about Trump refusing to concede the 2020 election.
He is still saying he didn't lose the election. I would just ask that. Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future.
Senator Vance says you can trust Trump, not Harris, on the economy.
Donald Trump's economic policies delivered the highest take-home pay in a generation in this country, 1.5% inflation, and to boot, peace and security all over the world.
He campaigns in Michigan today. Governor Walz has events in Pennsylvania. Vice President Harris will be in Georgia talking about storm recovery. Former President Trump has a private fundraiser to go to in Texas. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies and it's 71 degrees in Pensacola. Well, the world is watching Iran and Israel following yesterday's missile attack.
If the past is any guide, it seems like this might just be signaling on Iran's part that they want to look tough as Israel is attacking Hezbollah.
That is UWF professor Dr. Jacob Shively, and he says what happens next will be important. President Biden has said the U.S. stands firmly with Israel. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz calling the attacks unjustified and unacceptable. That from a post on X yesterday. Senator Rick Scott also releasing a statement saying that the U.S. needs to make it clear that Iran will pay dearly for the attacks and provide Israel with whatever support it needs. A man was shot and killed in Escambia County last night. That happened between North Loop Road and Blue Angel Parkway at about 10 p.m. Deputies say a suspect was arrested and is in custody, and that person's identity has not yet been released. Investigators are still looking into the homicide. They have not released any information on a potential motive. Well, it looks like Okaloosa County might have sealed the deal to get the SS United States. The county board there approving a purchase at just over $10 million on a 4-1 vote. Commissioner Carolyn Ketchel was against the idea.
My buck, buying more beach access where we knock down condominiums and buy more property where people can actually, tourists can go out to the beach, would be a better bang for the buck for $10 million.
And she was the only vote against that idea. The rest of the board voted to approve it. Commissioner Trey Goodwin said that the county wouldn't be on the hook for the entire purchase price. They're planning to use tourism tax dollars and also have community partners investing in that project. Now, the National Hurricane Center continuing to show a medium chance of development for a low-pressure system in the Northwest Caribbean and the Gulf of Mexico. Of course, there's also other storms in the Atlantic. One near certainty, if a storm were to hit, would probably be losing power, at least temporarily. Experts say it is best to be proactive in addressing food issues during power outages.
And a freezer, if it's half full, will keep a safe temperature for 24 hours, and if it's full, about 48 hours.
And that is Meredith Carruthers from the USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service. And she says if you lose power, your refrigerated foods are only safe to eat for about 4 hours. Governor DeSantis yesterday was in Dixie County discussing Hurricane Helene relief efforts. He said trailers are now being sent to areas that were affected by the hurricane to provide temporary housing. The governor said that would allow residents to stay on their properties instead of having to move dozens of miles away. And also, restaurants in affected areas are going to be allowed to run food trucks as they rebuild. And some area postal workers now on strike. Employees with the American Postal Workers Union in Pensacola hit the picket lines yesterday on West Jordan Street. Channel 3 was there. The employees told them that they've been mistreated, are working in poor conditions, and believe they're being abused by management. They're demanding improved staffing, customer service, and an opportunity for public input. It's 6:35. News Radio 92.3, John Scatter traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Clearwater Solutions, attention certified water and wastewater professionals. Clearwater Solutions hiring throughout Florida on spot interviews, Pensacola Marriott Courtyard, West 9 Mile Road, tomorrow from 9 to 3 and Friday 9 to 12. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now, not seeing any delays. Just a minor delay as you approach 9 Mile from Highway 29. You'll see some minor delays there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather.
It is going to be a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Thursday, 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorm, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Rain chances increase on Friday with a 60% chance of rain, high near 83 and a low near 70 degrees. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's 71 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. U.S. job openings rose unexpectedly in August as the labor market continues to show resilience. The Labor Department reports employers posted 8 million vacancies in August. This is up from 7.7 million in July. A strike hitting ports along the East and Gulf Coast could increase prices for food, autos, and a host of other consumer goods. Some of the main industries facing challenges include coal, energy, and agricultural products. West Coast ports are expected to take on some of the freight business that would normally go to Eastern ports. Nike has withdrawn its full-year guidance and said it is postponing its Investor Day, which had been scheduled for November. Nike beat earnings expectations by 18 cents, but it fell short on revenue. The sneaker giant is gearing up for a new CEO to take the helm. Futures are slightly lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 173, the NASDAQ down 278. That's your money now.
Football season's here, so let All Season Service Network tackle your HVAC issues, and you can focus on enjoying the game. All Season Service Network's special financing offer requires zero down on all new American Standard heating and air conditioning systems. Subject to credit approval, see dealer for details. And with 24/7 emergency service, you never have to burn up. All Season Service Network, keeping your home comfortable for the past 50 years and counting, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Call now or visit online, allseasonservicenet.com.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you I could help you reach your audience while they are at a sporting event? Hi, I'm Lexi with ADX Digital, and I can help you connect with your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with me today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Hurricane Helene threatens the Gulf Coast.
Hurricane warning all along Apalachicola and the Big Bend area.
When you need to know.
I just saw something flash across the screen that there's a tropical storm warning for South Walton County.
When warnings go up, News Radio 92.3's full team coverage goes into overdrive.
Helene has a different story for everybody. Storm surge 20 feet around Cedar Key.
Hurricane season is not over yet. When you need to know. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
La, la, la.
incorporation, I would have to see a non-binding referendum of the people of Navarre. I've been in politics enough to know that I can get a straw poll in favor of moving the Gulf of Mexico. Just give me about $12,000 and I can get it for you. I'll show the majority of you want to dig it up and move it somewhere else.
Don Gates making some interesting comments just this week about the incorporation in Navarre and the impending straw poll vote that carries no legal consequence whatsoever. Both the pro and the anti forces are putting together their roundtable discussions to try to, you know, move the needle one way or the other about Navarre incorporation. But Don Gates, who I think most political assessors would say is the odds-on super favorite to win re-election of the Senate. Look, I'm good friends with Lisa Newell, but in a heavily Republican area with the massive name recognition and money, you know, she's certainly waging an uphill campaign as a Democrat against Don Gates. Even she would acknowledge that. So he's likely to become the senator again. And he says, yeah, I don't care about this straw poll. That doesn't tell me anything, because straw polls can be used to create anything you want to create. Like, we think that the Gulf of Mexico should be moved. Straw poll, here's 12 grand. Figure it out for me, right? That's what he's saying. And so what he says is, if he is the one making the choices, and it seems like most likely he's going to be the one making the choices.
So what I'm interested in is a non-binding referendum. And when this matter came up in South Walton County, I told the folks there the same thing. A non-binding referendum means that it's not handled by a group of folks who have a dog in the fight.
Yeah, so that would be actually having a vote at election time on a non-binding referendum. And that's kind of what J.R. Williamson had wanted before when he was in the District 2, District 3 seat. It's not a requirement of law. You don't have to do it that way. But what he's saying is that's what I got to have. I got to have that, not a straw vote. So that's just kind of an interesting development in the ongoing question of whether Navarre is going to incorporate or not. Meanwhile, D.C. Reeves yesterday during his press conference talked about some of the things related to homelessness, including the camping ban statewide on public property that has gone into effect as of yesterday. We talked to Sheriff Simmons about that yesterday, and he said they haven't had any calls to remove anybody yet, but they're certainly willing. The problem is that the county hasn't taken any action on providing they're not required to. But the county hasn't even done anything to provide a possible place to move them to a campground, so to speak. There's a lot of reasons why the city hasn't worked on that either. But the city is passing or trying to pass a no camping ordinance that adds some teeth to not only enforcement of, but also expands the ban on camping to include commercial property and private property without the consent of the owner, so that police have legal authority to remove people. But anyway, the conversation about where are you going to move them to, DC commented on that yesterday.
We have not had any conversations in the city about any type of encampment whatsoever, and I have not engaged with the county or vice versa about an encampment in the county.
Yeah, so no conversations about that whatsoever. On the other hand, they are looking at apparently using the federal money to purchase what I'm going to call tiny huts. I don't know that's the official. We'll talk about this with him next hour, but a kind of a, I don't know, modular is not quite the right word, but something that you can provide from the city through the agencies or through somebody to allow people a place to live, and then they come in various configurations at various costs.
70 square foot single person units, somewhere in the 15,000-16,000 range, probably by the time you put it in, let's call it 20. But see, it depends on the need, right? There's two person units that are a little more expensive, but is it a women's and children's shelter or is it a men's shelter? So what the way we have RFP'd it is it allows us to get the most competitive price kind of across the board, and then we'll have this pool of funds, because it would be short-sighted of us to say, okay, we'll just take 40 single units. Well, what if our resources need women and children? What if, you know, so, and then there's some that have bathrooms, some that don't.
Yeah, I mean, all good notes. And, you know, again, this is trying to find a way to spend the federal money and help housing in Pensacola through not just helping the housing issue, but helping for the homeless as well. So we'll talk about that with him coming up next hour. 437-1620, 437-1620. Meanwhile, the county in Escambia County has run into a bit of an issue remodeling the old Masonic Lodge in Brownsville. That's that big, ugly, boarded up brick building. You've probably seen it. The budget was, $2 million to start? The spending is now approaching $2.7 million. Cool. you know, so who knew we'd wind up spending too much money on remodeling this building? One problem is they discovered termites. Also, Who could imagine that behind the stucco you would find termites for $250,000 to repair, according to the PNJ, $210,000 anyway. During demolition, during the internal demolition, they found that. Also, there's another almost $470,000 to additional unforeseen items required to complete the project that will need board approval, quoting from the use of the American Rescue Plan Act funding. So what had been a $2 million project, $2,095,000, is now going to be $2,771,000 pending approval on tomorrow's meeting. So yay, more money to stuff that we didn't properly anticipate the costs on to begin with, or didn't properly consider the contingency fees on in the beginning, unfortunately. And it looks like we have lost the SS United States to Fort Walton, for Walton County, or Okaloosa County, excuse me, to Okaloosa County. So, I mean, it's not a done-done, but it seems like it's pretty close to done-done. So we won't even talk about that. Hey, but that just frees up more money to spend on an athletic complex that is going to be in the wrong place. So... Don't get me started. 6:45 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Just one accident to let you know about. If you are on Woodbine Road heading toward Highway 90, we've got a vehicle crash with partial roadblock there. So you definitely want to take an alternate route as they try to get that out of the way. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you are thinking about a career change, or just, you know, maybe want to take some personal enrichment courses for yourself, maybe you want to work on a degree, but you don't want to go to university. There's all kinds of reasons that people would use Pensacola State College. And I'm just telling you, for my family, dual enrollment was the key. You know, that was, and look, we didn't have this when I was a kid, at least not the way we have it now. I was lucky enough to take a bunch of AP courses, and, you know, I went to college when I did with about a year and a half worth of credit, and that was rare back then, really, really rare, 47 credit hours, very rare. These days, that's really achievable for almost anybody. You just do dual enrollment. It's free when you're in high school. You take college classes and high school classes at the same time. You don't pay for books. You don't pay for classes. You get to get your feet wet at the university level by taking PSC classes. And again, like I say, you take all this credit with you when you go to, for example, go to UWF or somewhere else. My three kids have all done this. And it's a great resource. Pensacola campus, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Gunnels! FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
No, that's not a repeat, but that is a reminder that we have tickets to give away, and in fact, we'll give them away right now. You can watch FSU take on Clemson. I'm sure it'll be close this Saturday. But yeah, man, what a great game to go to. And who knows, maybe they could pull out the upset. That'd be fantastic. FSU takes on Clemson in Tallahassee this Saturday. I've got a pair of tickets for you. Be caller number 3-437-1620. 437-1620. Call now.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola.
now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app. When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Six-year-olds, how much trouble can they be?
Good morning, 6:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, sad note, John Amos passed away. Man. And look, you know, we've had, Kris Kristofferson and Maggie Smith. Oh, my God, Maggie Smith. And, you know, I it's funny because I think of her as Downton Abbey, but, of course, Professor McGonagall and so many other roles. She was such a gem. And now John Amos. And I'm not much of a believer in this whole, you know, like, celebrities die in threes nonsense. I just, you know, people die when they die. It's just, I just don't really believe in that. But wow, from the Good Times to the Jeffersons to he was in Die Hard 2, if you'll remember. He played a bad guy. He was in Coming to America. Remember, he was MacDowell, you know, the Golden Arcs, not the Golden Arches. He was the dad, right? So, God, what a fantastic actor. And he actually, I guess, quit. I didn't realize, quit Good Times over his belief that it was perpetuating negative stereotypes about black people. And they killed off his character after the third season. I didn't remember that at all, but, you know, wouldn't consider myself a Good Times expert. I did watch enough of it, Dynamite, but, you know. 6:51 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, I am. SpaceX founder Elon Musk has agreed to use dozens of Starlink receivers and terminals to help residents in North Carolina get access back to the internet. Many people there in North Carolina have still lost their internet connections and cell phones due to the destruction caused by that storm. J.D. Vance says the country has to do better when it comes to gun violence in schools during last night's debate. He said security needs to be increased at schools, including more resource officers. Tim Walz chiming in on that, saying that he's also a gun owner, understands the Second Amendment, but the country's first responsibility is to children. Did you see that portion?
You know, it was really one of the more interesting notes last night was the humanized elements of the interaction between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, and obviously their geniality to each other and granting each other concessions and points that are right on the other side. But there was, I thought, honestly, perhaps the most standout moment of the night in a positive way, even though it was about a horrible thing, was, you know, their conversation about gun control was very interesting. If you don't mind, I'm going to play a couple of these clips because I know it's
absolutely
your newscast, but I was going to play some of this coming up next hour, but we'll play it now because you brought it up. You know, they were talking about the problems. This is going back just a second, but J.D. Vance talking about illegal guns being a source of the problem.
Now, here's something that really bothers me and worries me about this epidemic of violence. The gross majority, close to 90% in some of the statistics I've seen, of the gun violence in this country is committed with illegally obtained firearms. And while we're on that topic, we know that thanks to Kamala Harris's open border, we've seen a massive influx in the number of illegal guns run by the Mexican drug cartel. So that number, the amount of illegal guns in our country is higher today than it was 3.5 years ago.
Okay, and then he talks about, this is the clip where you mentioned the SROs and school hardening.
But what do we do about the schools? What do we do to protect our kids? And I think the answer is, and I say this not loving the answer, because I don't want my kids to go to school in a school that feels unsafe or where there are visible signs of security. But I unfortunately think that we have to increase security in our schools. We have to make the doors lock better. We have to make the doors stronger. We've got to make the windows stronger. And of course, we've got to increase school resource officers, because the idea that we can magically wave a wand and take guns out of the hands of bad guys, it just doesn't fit with recent experience. So we've got to make our schools safer.
I love the whole tone of that. You know, I don't love seeing schools get hardened either, but we can't just wish the problem away. And then Tim Walz got into this whole issue of Finland and other countries and the, you know, problems they don't have like ours.
I've spent time in Finland and seen some Finnish schools. They don't have this happen, even though they have a high gun ownership rate in the country. There are reasonable things that we can do to make a difference. It's not infringing on your Second Amendment. And the idea to have some of these weapons out there, it just doesn't make any sense. Kamala Harris, as an attorney general, worked on this issue. She knows that it's there. No one's trying to scaremonger and say, we're taking your guns, but I ask all of you out there, do you want your schools hardened to look like a fort? Is that what we have to go? When we know there's countries around the world that their children aren't practicing these types of drills. They're being kids. We owe it to them to get a fix. These are things that shouldn't be that difficult. You can still keep your firearms, and we can make a difference. We have to. If you're listening tonight, this breaks your heart.
And there was a little extended conversation after that about J.D. Vance, about Finland, understanding that and looking at the mental health problems here in America. And Tim Walz's response is, you can't always just stigmatize mental health. Sometimes it's just the guns, was his line. But all of that was just sort of preface to what I thought was the most interesting moment of the night is Tim Walz said this about what his own kid experienced.
Well, I think all the parents watching tonight, this is your biggest nightmare. Look, I got a 17-year-old, and he witnessed a shooting at a community center playing volleyball. Those things don't leave you.
And you could see J.D. Vance, who did not know this, was visibly reacted to it. And later, said,
Senator.
Tim, first of all, I didn't know that your 17-year-old witnessed a shooting. And I'm sorry about that, and I hope that you're doing okay. So. Christ have mercy. It is awful.
It gave me then, and it gives me now, chills for like seeing a real person come through.
Yeah.
Real genuine compassion, obviously an expression of faith, all of that wrapped into one. I just thought that was you hate to think, well, the best moment of the night came from talking, but it really did. It really was the unscripted, real person, genuine care kind of character moment for J.D. Vance last night. So I'm sorry, I completely interrupted your newscast with that long section of audio clips.
That is actually really interesting because I hadn't sit down and watched the debate yet, and hearing the back and forth and what a debate is supposed to be, point, counterpoint.
Absolutely. Without concession of your opponent's correct points or at least interesting points.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, very interesting. I do have one more story if you want it real quick.
Yeah, go on.
So Ariana Grande apparently is going to take a lie detector test to prove that she has not had plastic surgery. She gave an interview to Vanity Fair this week where she was questioned by co-star Cynthia Erivo while hooked up to a lie detector and asked if she ever had work done. She denied getting a nose job, and the lie detector technician later said that she had been truthful.
But she still put her fingers on the donuts, yeah? You remember that video where she...
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, David. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. I don't care so much about the plastic surgery. I just don't want people wandering around grabbing the donuts and putting them back. Mm.
Exactly. You're making me hungry. We've got a vehicle crash if you are on Woodbine in Limbaugh Lane. That's approaching Highway 90. You're going to see a partial roadblock there. They're trying to move that off to the side of the road. But I'm seeing just some minor delays there. Other than that, I-10, I-110, they are looking good. Minor delay if you're heading Highway 29 southbound after 9 miles. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, I looked it up because I remembered it wrong. It wasn't touching. It was licking the donut. Remember, she licked the donut and put it back.
Yes.
No, thank you. 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of licking donuts, a great place to get your hardware supplies. I don't know. How do you make that turn? Come on, there's no segue that's up to that test. Not in the known universe. But Pensacola Hardware, seriously. Pensacola Hardware is a great place to get... I don't know where I am now. Anyway, obviously your hardware supplies. They can help you, give you advice. They can sell you the stuff you need. They can help you maybe get a better plan because you might think you know how to do it and you go and ask them like... So that's one way, but here, let's talk about a better way to do this. Also, we don't talk a lot about it, but the front of the store, like the front quarter or so of Pensacola Hardware is housewares, is, you know, knives and cutlery and barbecue grills and gumbo pots and SEC / all the Yeti merchandise you can possibly want. Like, there's a whole shrine of Yeti in there. It's amazing. So if you're into that and you want to do gift giving either for yourself or for somebody else, they have all kinds of cool stuff in there. Seriously. It's like going to the cool kids mall. It's like the front of Pensacola Hardware. So whether you're building, rebuilding, or remodeling Pensacola or getting good gifts, they can help you. They've been doing it since 1851. The oldest business in Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire United States. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.